So very good to see everybody here this morning. The lesson this morning is going to be a study of a very important subject that I fear sometimes members of the body of Christ, even members out in people in the world, that they may not even understand exactly what repentance is. And so for that reason, I put together this lesson. And it's not going to be milk today, brethren. This is going to be meat. We're going to dive deep into the Word of God, and I'm going to be moving along at a steady pace. So you be sure and keep your focus on the scriptures that we're looking at today. The very first one we're going to look at is one you're all familiar with, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I imagine the majority of you could probably quote this verse very easily. But notice what the verse does not say. It does not say, "Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." It says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." Repentance is a key, integral part of the Christian life. You cannot be saved without it. You cannot be a child of God without it. And yet I fear sometimes people view Christianity as baptism alone. I've been baptized, so therefore I'm saved. Repentance is a key part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Over in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. He says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Here I want you to realize repentance is a conversion. Again, I fear sometimes that people are convinced about who Jesus is, convinced baptism is for remission of sins, but they're not converted. Repentance involves a conversion in your life. Continuing over in Luke chapter 13, verse 5, he says, "I tell you, no, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." So if we do not repent, we're going to be lost. And then finally, over in Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2. The reason we're going to go to Romans 12, 1 through 2 is because this is the best text I know of in the entire Bible that defines what repentance actually is. Because if you ask people generally what is repentance, this is what you get a lot of times. Repentance is when you stop doing something that's wrong. If you're sinning, you stop doing that, you repent. Well, that's part of it. But the big mistake people make when it comes to the subject of repentance is they think that's all of it. They think all repentance is stopping doing something that is wrong when you're doing something that is wrong. What we're going to do today is come to understand exactly the full magnitude of repentance and come to understand God expects all of us as Christians to do this. Because I fear sometimes when you have this misconcept that repentance is only stopping doing what is wrong, you start viewing repentance as point action with the idea I did something wrong, there was a point in time I repented and I stopped doing it. And over here I did something wrong and so I stopped doing it. And you start thinking of repentance as points in time when you stopped doing something that was wrong. That definition of repentance is completely wrong. And if you think of it that way, you've totally got a miscomprehension of what God expects of us as his children. It is easy to come to the conclusion that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It's actually easy to confess that. And being baptized, it's quite easy to be immersed in water. All of that is easy to do. The real struggle, the real battle in our lives is the repentance. And so we must understand what it is and what it involves. As I told you, Romans 12, 1 through 2 is going to be the base text around which we build the entire sermon this morning, taking it literally a phrase at a time and breaking it down and studying it and digesting it so we can come to understand exactly what it is that God is commanding of us when he tells us to repent. Starting here in Romans 12 now, verses 1 through 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Then here in verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." As I told you, what we're going to be doing in the sermon now, we're going to be taking these two verses And we're going to be breaking them down a phrase at a time, a clause at a time, and coming to understand what actually is repentance. The first thing we learn here in verse 1 is that we are expected to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, and he says this is a reasonable service. Now, I have a question for you. How much of your life does God expect you to give as a sacrifice? 50%? How about 60% and you keep 40? Oh, I'll tell you what, 90% and you keep 10%. No. God expects you to give all of yourself as a living sacrifice. Now, my next question is, how much of your life does he expect you to give all of yourself as a living sacrifice? Some of the time, on Sundays, he expects you to give yourself as a living sacrifice all your life. All your life. Every day. Every moment. So right there, right at the very beginning, understand, repentance is not point action. It's not a here a moment and there a moment. It is your entire life. Every moment of your life. Repentance is a continual process. Let that sink in. It is not a point action process with a few points in time. It is a continual process. Every moment of time is spent involved in it. Over in Galatians chapter 2, look at how Paul puts it here. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Do you see that right there? What is he describing? He's describing this aspect of repentance to where it's no longer I who live. But who is this living? He says, but Christ lives in me. How much do you think Paul sacrificed of himself? All of himself. It's no longer Paul who lives at all. He gave himself over totally to the will of God, to where Christ was living in him. And then he says, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We're going to come back to this verse again later on, but right now look at the first part of it. It's no longer I who live. That's the living sacrifice. But Christ who lives in me. Look at it again here over in Galatians 2 and 20. I've been crucified with Christ, it's no longer I who live. But Romans says in chapter 6 and 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Do you see the same phrases? I have been crucified with Christ. Our old man was crucified with him. The idea is a putting to death the old man, putting to death my will. And his will becomes not something in my life, but everything in my life. Christianity is not part of your life. Christianity is your life. It is an all-consuming relationship with our God of a total giving up of self, a total sacrifice of self and my will to where my old man has been crucified with him. Going back to Matthew 16 now. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. How easy is it to deny yourself? Not easy. Because you see, there's times I want to go this way, but God's word says, Wayne, go this way. How often is the battle to deny yourself present within you? It's a nonstop battle, isn't it? Every moment we have to beat down self and the desire to go my way, the desire to do what I want to do, what I desire to do. And then when you deny yourself, he says, not only that, you take up your cross and you follow him. You don't go the way you want to go. You go the way he wants you to go. You follow him. Verse 25, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Do you realize it's saying the same thing as Romans 1, Romans 12, 1? Giving yourself as a living sacrifice is the denial of self. Giving up and losing your life. And again, how much of it? All of it. How often? All the time. Now, before we go any further, do you understand the magnitude of what's involved in repentance? When you start thinking, point action, I did something wrong, I stopped doing it. I did something wrong, I stopped doing it. You're totally missing it. Totally. It's all of you, all the time, serving, living by faith, walking by faith, conforming to Christ. It's a nonstop battle. It's a nonstop process. It doesn't end. And when you understand it's linear, it's a continual process, that you're continually trying to beat down self and beat down self from moment to moment to do His will, and a surrendering of your life to do His will, then you're starting to grasp the magnitude of what repentance really is. Let's get back now to verse 2 of Romans 12. He says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." I remember my mother had Jell-O molds. I haven't seen any of those in a long time, but she would take Jell-O and pour it into the mold and put it in the refrigerator. And then whenever she'd take it out of the refrigerator, she'd pull the mold off, and the Jell-O had solidified somewhat to the shape of the mold. That's what it means to conform, to become like, to become conformed to. We're not supposed to be conformed to the world and be like the world. But look at this phrase here. We are supposed to be transformed. A transformation is taking place in our lives. I got a question for you. How often is the transformation? You should already know the answer by now. The transformation is a continual process. It is continual process. Repentance is a continual process of being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Over in Romans chapter 8 now, going back to verse 29, he says, "Be conformed to the image of His Son. Those whom God foreknew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son." The transformation process is, rather than being conformed to the world, you're conformed to the image of Christ. Remember what Paul said? It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We're striving to become conformed to the image of Christ, to where when people look at us, what they see is Christ and God shining through us, reflecting through us. In Colossians 3 and 10, he says, "And I've put on the new man who was renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him." Who is it that created us? God. And we're being renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created us. We're trying to be like God. We're trying to be like Jesus. Basically, that's what Christianity is. We're striving to be more and more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. And then the next day, guess what? I'm trying to be more like Jesus the next day than I was the day before. And more like Jesus the next day than I was before. Please understand, the transformation process is linear and continual. It's linear and continual. In Colossians 3 again, going back to it, in chapter 3, verse 5 through 10, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." All right, remember we learned earlier about putting to death the old man? Hear that phrase again. You put to death your members which are on the earth. Now, this is what you probably think about sometimes when you think about repentance. Stopping doing these things. If you're involved in fornication, you put it off. If you're involved in covetousness, you put it off. Whatever kind of sin it may be you're involved in, yes, you put that off. Verse 8 says, "But now yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. So here again, he's continuing by talking about putting off. You're putting off the old man. If you're having problems with your anger, problems with your mouth and your language, whatever it may be, you put that off. Yes. But then when you go over to Ephesians 4, 22, it says, and that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You see these three verses? Put off, put off, put off. Now the problem sometimes is we think that's all repentance is. It's putting the things off that we're doing that are wrong. But that's not all of it. Look at Colossians 3 and 10. And I've put on the new man. You see, this is not repentance. Sometimes we think repentance is stopping and no longer doing something that's wrong. Repentance is stopping, putting off the old man, turning, and going in a whole other direction. You got to understand, there's a whole other lifestyle that you are to put on. It's not just stopping doing what's wrong. That's where you're limiting repentance and not understanding the magnitude of what's involved in it. You put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Dropping down to Ephesians 4 and 24, he says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. And then finally going back to Romans 13, 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. You put on the new man. You put on the new man. You put on Christ. The putting on of Christ is a major aspect of repentance. Please let that sink in. It's not enough just to stop doing things that are sinful and wrong. If that's all you think repentance is, you've missed half of it completely. There's a whole other aspect of it, and that is putting on the new man, putting on Christ, striving to be more and more like Christ every day of our life. When you obey the gospel, we read earlier over in Acts 2 and 38, he talked about repent and be baptized. Okay, that's putting to death the old man and putting on the new man. But let me ask you, have you attained to the fullness of Christ when you were baptized? No, you're what I call a babe in Christ. A babe in Christ is just that. You're at the beginning. Yeah, you repented, but you're at the beginning of the process of repentance. And understand, repentance continues on for the rest of your life. It is not just the moments when you blow it and do something that is wrong. It is a process that continues on for the rest of your life, trying to become more and more like Jesus every day. Trying to put on Christ, to be stronger and more like Christ every day. So do you see the linear process of the transformation taking place? Every day, you should be shining more and more brightly as a Christian. Going over to Colossians, chapter 3 again, now he says, therefore put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Do you understand what this is? You're to put on and try to get to where you have the mercy of Christ. The kindness of Christ, the humility of Christ, the meekness of Christ, the long-suffering of Christ. Now let me ask you, is there anybody here this morning that has attained to the fullness of the stature of Christ when it comes to his humility? Some of you may be strong, you may have these in you and abounding, but even if they're in you and abounding, you still got a long way to go. It's a never-ending journey. Please understand that. It's a never-ending journey. It's a never-ending process to where you're trying to be more like Jesus today than you were yesterday. Continually trying to transform yourself into the image of Christ. Verse 13 says, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So here again, you forgive the way Christ forgives. And then in verse 14, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. When you're putting on Christ, this is what you put on. You put on the Christian attributes. You're putting on the example of Jesus Christ in all the Christian attributes of Christ. And striving to grow in them and grow in them and grow in them and grow in them. And the growing process is a continual process of transformation. It's not just stopping doing what's wrong. It's starting to put on Christ and conforming yourself and transforming yourself to the image and the example of Christ. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, now the next phrase, by the renewing of your mind. The transformation process we've been talking about begins with the mind, with the renewing of the mind, the changing of the mind, the changing of the heart, that ultimately is manifest with the changing of the life. Everything you do in your life is controlled by your mind, by your brain. The words that are coming out of my mouth right now, they're starting in my brain. My finger coming up and pointing to my head is starting in my brain. Everything starts here in the mind. Repentance starts in the mind. It starts in your heart. The transforming and the changing of your heart, the renewing of the mind that leads to the changing of the life. Going over to Colossians now, chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Now here's that renewing in the Colossian text. And we're being renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Going back to Ephesians, it says in 4 and 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Are you seeing the pattern? The renewing process is in the mind. Now then over in Galatians 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, brethren, when you read this verse, how many of you think, okay, this is telling me how I can stop sinning. Tell me how to do it. You see, the sermon is not only what is repentance, it is, how do you do it? How can I do this? How can I stop doing these things? How can I put them off? How can I accomplish this all giving sacrifice? How do I do that? It says here, walk in the Spirit. Now, a lot of you are going, oh, how do I do that? Okay, we're going to explain this to you, how you walk in the Spirit. Because he says here, if you do this, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But look at the rest of the verse. In verse 17, he says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. This verse here explains me. This verse here explains you and the battle that you're facing. There's the desires of the flesh, and then there's my desire to do right. The flesh and the spirit contrary to one another, contrary to one another. Now, how is it I get to where I put out the desires of the flesh? How is it that I can put off the old man? How is it that I can crucify the old man? Because the text here tells us how to do it, but he tells us the way it's done is by walking in the Spirit. And if you do that, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, well, I got to learn how to do this. Romans says over in Romans 8 and 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Did you see the mind there again? Spiritually minded versus carnally minded. This is where you got to change. This is where the work needs to be done. Is in your mind, in your heart. That's where the work's got to be done. So that you will be more spiritually minded. How do you grow more spiritually minded and less carnally minded? In Romans chapter 8 verse 13 he says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Sounds kind of like Galatians, doesn't it? By the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you're going to live. All right. Here again, he's talking about the Spirit involved here. And by the Spirit, I'm putting to death the deeds of the body. So this is how I repent. This is the key to it, isn't it? How do I do it then? How do you repent. Going back to Romans 8 and 13, he says, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Galatians says in 5 and 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, do you not realize those two verses are teaching the same thing? The walking in the Spirit, if you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. This is how you repent. Now then, Galatians 5, 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Galatians, though, says in chapter 3, verse 11, the just shall live by faith. Now then, this is something you got to listen to real close here. What I'm wanting you to realize here is living in the Spirit and living by faith are the same thing. They are the same thing said different ways. 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for if we walk by faith, not by sight. Look at this. To walk in the Spirit is to walk by faith. They are the same thing. Putting it another way, if you live in the Spirit, you live by faith. If you walk in the Spirit, you walk by faith. You see that? Now then, is it becoming a little bit clearer? The way you do this, the way you repent is by faith. Faith is what drives repentance. Faith is what drives the transformation process. Faith is what you live by. Do you understand? Living by something is not momentary. It is linear. It is a process of life. Every moment of your life. Let me ask you, is this walking? No. That's a step. Walking is a process. It is a linear process that you continue to do and never stop doing. When you live by faith, you are living by the Spirit. When you walk by faith, you are walking by the Spirit. And so this is the key to how it is that you repent, and that is it must be your faith that is driving it. Faith is the gasoline that drives the engine in the Christian's life. Now let's go back to Galatians 2 and 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We had this in the early part of the lesson when we were talking about putting to death the old man. But look at the rest of the verse. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how you do it. You live by faith. To where all of your life, everything you say, everything you do is totally controlled by your faith. That is how you repent. Without faith, you're not going to be able to accomplish it. Galatians 2 and 20. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Ephesians 3 says, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Do you see? It's dealing with Christ, God helping me. Strengthening us in the inner man to where we can do it. If you desire to repent, where you need to start is your faith. You need to start at the beginning. You need to go back to who is Jesus, who he is, what he did for you. And understanding that he really is the Christ, the Son of God. He really loves you. He really died for you. He really rose from the dead. Because it is your faith that's going to be controlling your life. Faith is linear. Living is linear. Walking is linear. And the point I'm trying to make so many times this morning is that repentance is linear. Because the repentance is the process and the works of the faith. Repentance is the works of the faith. It is the actions of the faith. It is the result of the faith. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. How? Through faith. That you're being rooted and grounded in love. Now look at this. You're strengthening us with your spirit and the inner man. Then he talks about Christ dwelling in your heart. That's in the inner man. It's in your heart. It's the changing of the mind. What changes your mind is faith. What changes your heart is faith. What changes your life is faith. To where there's one time in your life when you're just totally giving yourself over to the desires of the flesh. If you want to do it, you just do it because you want to do it, regardless of how God feels about it. But when you become a Christian, it's not your will anymore that matters. It's the will of the one who died for you. It's the will of the Father that gave his Son for you. It's the denial of yourself and then by faith doing his will. Going back to 1 John 5 and 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. If you don't know in the context there of 1 John, he's talking about the world being the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Every avenue of sin that's coming into our world that we struggle with. How do you overcome it? How do you win? How do you repent? How do you put off the old man? How do you put on the new man? How do you transform yourself? By faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Now is it clearer and easier to understand? Sometimes when you start thinking by the Spirit, unfortunately, some folks think you've got to be zapped by the Spirit and it's taking control of you. The way the Spirit works, folks, is through this word. This word that produces faith and this word that produces a knowledge of God. To where you understand what Jesus is like. To where you understand what God is like and what the will of God is for you in your life. Now, this leads us to the last phrase here. Going back to Romans, he says in chapter 12 and 2, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Another translation of this verse says that you may demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You're demonstrating the will of God. You're proving and showing what is the will of God. You give yourself as a living sacrifice. You start with a new renewing of the mind, the changing of the heart, what is changed by faith. But you've got to understand this. True repentance is doing the will of God, not your will. And the only way you can do the will of God is to go to his word. You have to go to his word and find out what his will is. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. You've put on the new man who was renewed. Notice this phrase, in knowledge. Renewed in knowledge, not the way you feel, what you like, how you want it to be. The renewing process is done with the knowledge of his will. Going back to Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 20 through 21. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now look at that phrase. Learned Christ. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? What you're trying to do is learn what Christ is like. Learn what the Son of God is like. And then strive to be conformed to him. To be transformed. To be converted. To be changing continually into the image of Jesus Christ and the example of Christ. And he says, talking about how you've been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. How are you going to be taught by him? By the truth. By the word of God. This is his will. Now going to Romans 6. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. There was a time when I was allowing my body to be a slave of sin, to where whatever sin said do, I said, okay. But I'm no longer a slave of sin. Now I belong to God. And now it says here, my members, that's my body, it's meant to be instruments of righteousness to God, to live a life that is pleasing to my God. As you go further here in the sixth chapter of Romans, he says in verse 17 and 18, but God be thanked, though you were slaves of sin, that's where I was at one time, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered and have been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I won't date myself with this, Gary. There's an old Bob Dylan song. It goes this way. You got to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. And right now, you're serving somebody. Who is it? Are you serving the devil? Are you a slave of sin to where it has total control over you? Are you a slave of righteousness? Look at this middle part of the verse. You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Please understand, the sixth chapter of Romans is describing repentance, folks. That's what the chapter is primarily about, is repentance. Yes, it talks about baptism in the first five verses, but after you get past that, the rest of the chapter is on repentance. And a major part of repentance is obeying from the heart the doctrine that's been delivered to us. Let me describe it to you this way. From the Word of God, you get faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. From the same Word, you get the knowledge of the will of God. You put the two together to where you, by faith, are doing the will of God. You got Christianity. But understand, it's not for a moment here and a moment there. You're not living Christianity for a few moments in every day. You live by faith every moment of every day. In every situation, you walk by faith. And it's that faith that gives you victory over the world. It's that faith that makes it to where you can live the life that's pleasing to God and be a slave of righteousness. Now let's go over to Colossians again, chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. So here we're talking about letting the peace of God rule in your heart, total domination, the will of God ruling and controlling in your heart. But look at the next verse, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You see, when the word of Christ is dwelling in you richly, you're letting God rule in your heart. I'll put it to you another way. Imagine I have a glass here in my hand, and the glass is full of water. If I turn the glass sideways, what's going to come out? If you don't say water, you fail. If the glass is full of water, when I turn it sideways, what's going to come out is water. To be spiritually minded, you have to take the Holy Spirit-given Word of God and let it fill the mind. Let it fill the mind. Let it fill the heart. And then what comes out of your life is the will of God. When the heart is filled with His Word, when the heart is filled with His will, and you're living by faith, what is coming out is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's repentance. When you're showing and demonstrating the will of God in your life by faith, the changing of the heart that leads to the changing of the life, the transformation continually trying to be more like Christ than I was yesterday. Going over now to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. You want to know how to repent? This is how you do it. First, you've got to understand what it is. What it is not just stopping doing what's wrong. Repentance is a conversion. It, yes, stopping and putting off the old man and all the sins you're involved in. Then you turn and go in a whole nother direction for the rest of your life. And as you're walking by faith, if you give in to temptation and you sin, you know what you do? You turn from it. You turn from it. You get up and you ask God's forgiveness and you keep going by faith. If you're running a race and you fall on the ground, what do? Stay on the ground. If you get entangled in rope, you stay entangled in rope. No. You get up and you get untangled and you get back into the race. That's Christianity. That's repentance. The continual process of going forward and forward and forward and forward, walking forward, running forward, living by faith, walking by faith, doing the will of God by faith. And as you do the will of God by faith, you are clay in the potter's hands. And you're being conformed and transformed to where you're more like Jesus today than you were yesterday. Do you understand? Repentance is not just a few moments in your life. Repentance is your life. It is the transformation process that is never ending. And when you understand it's a continual process, it never ends, then you understand if you fall, you just get up and ask forgiveness and get back into the race. That's part of it, yes, but not all of it. Please don't limit it to just the thou shalt nots. Please understand, you're supposed to be coming like Christ, to where it's no longer you who lives, but Christ who lives in you. In the life that you're now living, you're living by faith in the Son of God who loved you, gave himself for you. Galatians 2:20 is Romans light. Romans 12:1 and 2 is what repentance is all about. And Galatians tells you the same thing in a more simple form. The denial of self, giving yourself as a living sacrifice. The changing of the heart that leads to the changing of the life. The transformation of the mind, so that you could become transformed and converted and conformed to the image of Christ. And what drives it all is faith. You must understand that. And you must understand it is a never-ending process, never-ending, to be more like Jesus than you were yesterday. Now then, I hope you understand how big repentance is, because that's what the Lord expects of us. It is easy to come to the conclusion that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It is easy to confess that faith. It is easy to be baptized for the remission of your sins. But the repentance is a battle to deny yourself, to beat down your will and the pride of life to where it's not your will that you're submitting to, but it's the will of God. And in your life, you're going to take up your cross and follow his will by faith. If you understand the cost and you're willing to make that commitment, we'll be glad to baptize you for the remission of your sins. But you got to understand, it's repent and be baptized for the remission of your sin. And understand the repentance and the baptism, by the way, are both driven by faith. You confess your faith, you repent by faith, you're baptized by faith, and then you live and walk by faith. If you're a child of God and you're entangled in sin, you quit running the race. Get up, get untangled. Repent. take the sins to God, ask forgiveness of them, and get back into the living and the walking by faith and the work of denying yourself and doing His will in your life and striving to be more like your God and our Christ in your life from day to day. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the very best we can as your brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the songs Jay has selected.